Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening and welcome to Breaking the Silence. Here I am in my office at Texas Children's Hospital. I work for Baylor College of Medicine. I'm right here on the 10th floor of the OB-GYN department, and they are actually doing construction right on the other side of my wall for more delivery rooms. So every now and then you may hear some hammering and some drilling. And so if that happens, I apologize. But so far it hadn't been too loud. It just kind of interrupts my morning and my afternoon nap. Anyway, it's great to have you with us today. We're pre-recording this program because I have a guest that I wanted to make sure I made it as convenient for her as possible, because I have been honored to be able to watch her, to get her emails, to get inside of some of the information that she hands out throughout the week and through her webpage. And I just finished her book this morning, and I am absolutely in awe of the guests that we have on the program. So you're going to be blessed. I want to make sure that you have time right now to go ahead and start phoning people, text people, and say, hey, wait, you don't want to miss the program tonight, because it's going to be a dandy. So I want you to pull out a roll of duct tape and duct tape on your socks, because your socks are going to be blown off here in a minute with the guests that we have. Next week, I want to make sure you know that on December 22nd, right before Christmas, we have an awesome guest, and it's Landon Dickinson, and he runs the Hope House, Bob's Hope House, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and they take care of men and boys that have been abused, and it has an unbelievable outreach, and they also have several different ministries within that. And you don't want to miss that December 22nd show right before our Christmas holiday. I'd love to be able to give you out the cell phone number and the radio station number if you want to call in with questions. But tonight, since we're pre-taping, we won't have that. But I do want to give you my personal cell phone number, 832-396-6525. If you have any questions or comments, or most importantly, if you want some information and you need help about something that you want to talk about possibly the topic that we're discussing this evening, feel free to text me on my private line, and it goes right here, and I will respond to you normally within 2 to 3 minutes, 24/7. And if you need counseling, all the counseling that I do on the side here is all free of charge. I've never charged a dollar for my counseling. I never will. It's a way to give back to the world. And but 832-396-6525 if you need somebody to talk to. I want to let you know you're never alone, and you may be in the middle of a storm. If you're not, you may be fixing to go into a middle of a storm, or you just got out of one. Any of those three areas where we're at. And I guarantee you, that's why our hair is messed up half the time and we don't know what's going on in our life. But I want to let you know there's hope, and there's somebody that's going to be there with you to be able to get you through it. You're never, never alone. Now, I want to get to our guest this evening. Kelsey Yeager is a certified life coach, a grief and loss coach. And I want to let you know, I honestly believe with the life that she has endured, with the experiences that she has, she has more wisdom because of what she has been through in her journey than most people that have graduated 10 colleges and have all these letters behind their name that says, hey, they know all the textbook stuff, but if they've never gone through it, it's a different ballgame. And Kelsey has gone through it. And she also is a registered nurse. As a widow and a mother of four beautiful sons, she brings an unbelievable amount of personal insight into her grief counseling. And I don't believe we've had anybody on the program in 5 years that is typically and specifically specialized in this area, not just life coaching, but also grief and loss. And she has written an unbelievable book that I want you to write down right now, A Million Miracles and the One That Never Came. Before this night is over, I want you to download, buy this book, have it sent from Amazon. It's an unbelievable book that you could actually have multiple copies to be able to give to people that are going through stress, anxiety, trauma of the pain of something and possibly losing a loved one or just experience losing a loved one, especially during these holiday times. So I'm just honored to have our guest on the program this evening. So Kelsey, come on in. I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, and welcome to the program this evening.
Thank you so much for having me. And wow, what an intro. Thank you. That was, I'm over here blushing.
Well, I tell you what, I don't blow wind up skirts very often, but I tell you, I am moved with the book. I sit here and read it in my office and tears were flowing down my face. I felt, and I know I didn't go on the journey with you, but I felt like I was on the journey with you when you wrote this book. Unbelievable ability to write like you do. Great, great work.
Thank you. Thank you. That was definitely my goal when I was writing the book, was to bring the reader into the room with me, bring the reader on the journey that I went through with me. So it makes me so happy to hear that that was exactly how your experience was.
Tell me, before we get into the story, because I want you to share whatever you would like to share this evening. This is going to be your hour. I want this spotlight on you. I want you to tell what you want. But tell me a little bit about you today, where you're at, how your boys are doing, what you're doing, and why you wake up and jump out of that bed, and what is the passion that you have in your heart and life that you want to accomplish in the next day. What do you have in mind right now?
So my motivation is to continue my husband's legacy. Without telling my story, I know you mentioned that I'm a widow. My husband, he passed away at the age of 40 after battling leukemia for 559 days. And he really just was the type of person that lit up the room everywhere he went. Even on his sickest days in the hospital, it didn't matter who walked into the room, a janitor, a tech.
There he is, right there.
There he is.
Beautiful picture.
A doctor. It was his goal to brighten other people's day. And the world got a little bit dimmer the day he passed away. And it is now my mission. And I am determined to continue his legacy and continue that light that he emitted into the world. And of course, as you mentioned, we have four sons. They also are my motivation. They lost a parent, and when they lost him, they could have very easily lost me too. And I recognized that, and I saw how easy I could have gone down that path. And I was determined to not allow them to lose both parents. And so they really are my motivation every day to get up and to keep moving forward, even when sometimes the path is really, really rocky and really dark. My children are my driving force.
Yeah. When you was going through this journey, this adventure that you were on, you were a registered nurse. You had never
Yes.
life coached at that point. You had never thought about
No.
any of this. Did
No.
did something happen in the middle of this experience? Because the million miracles have literally happened from the car wreck of your sons. And that's the introduction to the book. It's like, whoa, I had to strap the seat on my chair. It's like, wait,
yes.
we're not fluffing. We're jumping into this book. Boom, page one.
Yes.
This is what happens. And I love
yes.
that. But it was just, did something happen that you saw that was either done right or wrong that you thought, hey, wait, I want to make sure I remember this because other people are going to need help through it? Or was it after it all settled and the dust kind of came down, you thought, now what? Where do we go from here? When did that life coach in grief and loss coaching come into play up in your gray matter?
That's a great question. So to just give a little background in the story, it's in my book, this is, I start with the intro right away with this, but my our two oldest sons were in a motor vehicle accident. As a result of that accident, our oldest son, we discovered that he had a brain tumor. And our other son that was in the accident, he had severe trauma from the accident and which led to multiple surgeries and, you know, physical therapy and rehab and all of that. So we got through that. And then my husband was diagnosed with leukemia. So I, as you can imagine, completely fell apart. And just my personality, I was like, I need to figure out what is going on with me. And try to, because I'm the type of person, if I learn what's happening physiologically, then it helps me to kind of just endure better, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's the science part of my brain. And so I dove head into lots and lots of grief books, grief courses, grief therapy, all the things, and just educated myself. I had no plans of coaching other people. I was just trying to survive. I was trying to help myself. And I, you know, my husband battled for 559 days. After he passed away, I had this whole nother level of grief that was unlocked. And I just felt so lost. And like I said, I was worried that my kids were going to lose both their parents. And so I continued on my grief education journey with more grief groups. Now for people that have dealt with the loss of a loved one, continued with grief therapy. And yet I just felt so isolated and so unsupported. And grief is a universal experience, but I felt so unseen. If I pretended like everything was okay and I put on this mask of grief, I called a mask of grief. I put on this mask and, you know, was going through the motions and I put a smile on my face, I was praised for being so strong. But if I broke down and showed what I was really experiencing, I could see, and this isn't not everybody, but I could see people kind of pull back. They would get really uncomfortable. They would tell me, oh, it's okay. They would try to make me stop. And so because of that, I just felt so isolated. And even my grief therapist was, after a few months, was telling me how great I was doing. And in my head, I was thinking, I don't feel like I'm doing great at all. I'm miserable. I'm going through the motions, but I have no joy. And that is when I signed up for a life coaching school. And it wasn't, I remember talking to the enrollment counselor and telling her, I'm not doing this to be a life coach. I am doing this to help coach myself because I am desperate to figure out how to navigate this new life that has been thrust upon me. And I feel really lost. And so I'm hoping this will help me. And she said, okay, you know, she said, so we have people that say that, and then they get into it and they end up really, you know, feeling like it's their calling, and they end up coaching. And I'm like, yeah, that's not going to be me. I'm not one of those people. I have no desire to do this. And it was within the first probably 4 to 6 weeks when I started gaining some of the tools and learning some of the kind of like the how our brain works. And again, I love to just suck up information. Things started to click because I was taking that information over here that I was learning, and I was combining it with the grief education that I had already received, with the grief experience that I had lived. And I merged those things together, and all of a sudden it was like this light bulb went on, and I thought to myself, this is like magic. Why has no one taught me this before? Like, why isn't this being taught everywhere? And it was at that moment that I knew I could not keep it to myself, that I had to help others who were suffering in grief like I had been. And so that was really the moment when my aha moment where my company Rise with Grief was born.
Yeah, you know, Kelsey, it seems like, you know, a lot of people thinking, hey, wait, this must have happened because you have advanced so much in everything that you're doing to be well known as one of the top, at least in my world, one of the top people. If you need help, hey, Kelsey, I'm going to send her your way. This is fairly fresh wounds. I mean, 2021, I think that the book is somewhere January 2021, something in that area. That's still fresh. It was during COVID, which added another layer of pain and anguish on top of all of this, I'm sure, not being able to be there, that, you know, because everything was limited in the hospitals. So how did you get to, from a quote that I wanted to, I think this is early on in the book, this quote struck me. You wrote, "This experience has shaken me to my core. Sometimes I scream and cry at the sky, give me my life back." To go from there to today, how?
It was really a shift in my mindset. You know, we can't always control our circumstances. We can't always control the things that are happening. to us, but we can control how we respond. And I could choose to be bitter and angry and be stuck in a pity party, or I could choose to allow this experience to make me better, to learn from it. And I really was at like a crossroads of, am I going to go left or am I going to go right? And I tried the pity party. I tried feeling sorry for myself. And don't get me wrong, I still allow myself to have a pity party for a short time. I still allow myself to feel sorry for myself for a short time. I don't unpack and stay there. But when I tried that road, it was absolutely miserable. I was suffering. I had never felt suffocated by so much darkness in my entire life. And when I changed my mindset and went down the other road, that suffering, it eased tremendously.
Yeah. That picture that you gave of you taking a bath and going underneath the water and screaming. I saw myself doing that. I've been there. I've been at the mirror pulling my hair out. Just like, I don't want to do another minute of this, Lord. Why? Why?
Yes.
Did it surprise you that you have the strength that you had? Or when you have no option, you don't realize how strong you are until there's no other decision to go, but either roll up in the ball or stand up and move forward.
I think it's both. I think I look back on the things that I endured, that my family endured, and I am almost, it takes my breath away. Like I don't, on one hand, I don't know how I got through that. And on the other hand, I didn't give myself another choice but to move forward. I could have just rolled up in a ball and just, you know, succumbed to the darkness. Again, my kids needed me. And I also was suffering when I was doing that. And so I chose to figure out a way to climb out of the darkness. And I didn't do that alone. There are so many people that have rallied around me. And I believe, and I talk about this in the book a little bit, I believe on both sides, I believe that I had help, heavenly help from people that have gone before me, that loved ones that have gone before me, that were carrying me through days that I wasn't strong enough to carry myself through. And also I allowed myself to lean on those around me here, which, by the way, is not easy for me. I am not a person that just easily accepts help. But when you have no other option, I had to allow people to help me.
Yeah, being in the medical world, you're trained to be the giver of the medicine. To be the receiver of that, it's a whole different world. And did it at first make you uncomfortable?
100%.
Yeah.
It still makes me uncomfortable, if I'm being completely honest. Yeah. No, it makes me very uncomfortable. But I knew, you know, there's an element of pride there. That's what makes me uncomfortable. And so when I looked at it, when I dropped that, and I humbled myself. And I also realized, you know, when I help somebody, it makes me feel so good. And so I also realized that it wasn't just about me. It was also about them and allowing them to feel good and enjoy the real joy that comes from helping somebody else without any expectation of receiving something in return.
As you go through today to day, this week, if something happens where someone calls you and you're talking to them, you're coaching through them, and they go, "Oh, Kelsey, this made such a big difference. Thank you." And then you log off or hang up the phone or whatever. Do you ever sit back and go, "Wow, that's why I endured what I endured, so I could help that one person today"? Has that crossed your mind many times?
Absolutely. Yeah. It has. And the selfish part of me says, I don't want to have to go through this to help other people. I'd rather not go through it.
I could have read a book and learned this.
Yes. Just go back to my old life. Like I say, my book, I screamed at the sky, "Give me my life back."
Yeah.
But obviously I know, and you know, that's not an option. So where do I go from here? I'm going to make the most of my situation. And for me to help other people is incredibly healing. Incredibly healing.
Yeah. Do you ever go through the situation of recognizing the what if, asking yourself the what ifs, because your boys were a foundational motivation for you not giving up? If those boys weren't there, have you ever asked your question, what if they weren't there, would you have made it through this?
Absolutely. I have asked myself that question, and I don't know for sure, obviously. Sure. I've learned not to project on how I would respond to something. But I would like to think that I would rise and come through it for myself. I can't honestly say that I would.
We're going to take a commercial break. And on the other side of this, Kelsey, I really want to drill down into your faith, the doubting possibly of, wait, God, you just did this miracle, so another one's fixing to happen because you just did this one. Did that crack some of that faith foundation? And then I want to actually turn the corner in the last few minutes. If there's somebody watching the program right now that says, "Hey, wait, I'm screaming underneath the water now. I feel alone and I'm suffocating and I'm getting ready to drown." What words of wisdom would you have for them? And we're going to talk about that and a whole lot more. And on the other side of this, I also want them to know how to get a hold of this book. So hang with us. We'll be right back after this short commercial break. You won't want to miss this last half of the show.
Get ready for a life-changing journey. From the best-selling author of Shattered by the Darkness and When the Dark Clouds Come, Dr. Gregory Williams is back with his highly anticipated third book, Embracing Your Scars, Learning How to Turn Life's Pain into Life's Power and Purpose. Have you ever wondered how to transform your struggles into strength? Do you want to stop hiding behind the pain, the heartache, and instead learn how to turn those scars into the very fuel that propels you towards greatness? If you do, then this book is for you. In Embracing Your Scars, Dr. Williams shows you how to take the negative experiences of your past and turn them into the very source of your future success. Don't miss out, because your transformation begins here. The book is available soon on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever great books are sold.
The Child Called It. Dave Peltzer was on the program last week, and unbelievable author. But the one that I really want you to buy today, and Kelsey, do you happen to have a book right there handy on your desk with you? Hold that up. If not, I can do
grab
it.
Grab one real quick.
Yeah, grab one, because I can pull it up on my Kindle.
Here it is.
There it is. A Million Miracles and the One That Never Came. The true story of love, loss, and unbelievable. Is the best way for them to get a hold of that book for you is through Amazon or Barnes & Noble, all those places that sells books online?
Yes, yes. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, you can get it on the online platforms.
Okay, fantastic. There was a moment that, number one, the book is laid out like a journal. Was this really your journal?
It really was. I kept a journal as a way to a couple of reasons. One, to help me process what was going on. Also for me to keep record. I, as an RN and as my husband's caregiver, I was very, very, very involved in his care. And so I also kept it to kind of keep record of what was happening medically. So when I went back and wrote the book, I added more details and to, like I said, to bring the reader into the room with me, to bring them on this journey.
Yeah. I mean, I felt like I was, and this is a moment that I wanted to ask you about. I felt like I was in the grocery store with you when you mentioned this grocery store moment. Mm-hmm. While your world was crashing down, life was normal for everyone else. What did that moment mean to you?
When you're going through something that's so life-changing, it's almost like the world moves in slow motion. If you've ever seen like a movie where it's like time kind of freezes, but you're still moving and you see everything really going in slow motion. It's like that. It's like you're walking through the twilight zone because your world is completely changed and it looks forever different. But to everyone else, it's the same. And so it's just really an odd experience. And I recount that in the grocery store where I'm going and everyone's just going about their daily lives, grabbing things. And I want to just grab every person and shake them by the shoulders and say, don't you know that like your life can change in an instant? Like life is so fragile. And then I go up to the checkout. And the checker's like, did you find everything okay? You know, just like bubbly. And I wanted to, it's like, no, everything's not okay. You know, I didn't say that to her. I wanted to scream that. And I just, you know, nodded my head and said, yeah, everything, like I found everything fine. And just wanted to run out of the store and just get away from everybody. And as I was walking back out to my car, it hit me. How many times have I encountered somebody whose whole world was crumbling around them and I had no idea? And so I made a commitment to myself at that moment that no matter what, I would always, always treat everyone with the utmost respect and kindness, because you never know what silent battle someone is enduring.
And you know, I do seminars around the world on this topic, and we call it in the medical field trauma-informed sensitivity and trauma-informed care. Folks, what Kelsey just said is what trauma-informed is all about, recognizing that that layer of your eyes have been peeled away and you can see people going through their own personal pain and not just bypassing them. We need to recognize everybody's carrying their own load.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Do you have a different approach now to people, to waitresses, waiters that come up to your table, to people at drive-thrus at McDonald's and Starbucks, of caring, giving back, hey, how are you, those type of things?
Yeah, I so my husband, Colin, was literally the most friendly person in the world. He was everybody's best friend, but it was genuine.
Yeah.
And sometimes before he was sick, the boys and I would get irritated because we're just like, oh my gosh, we want to go. Like, why are you talking to this stranger? And like, but it really was this special magical thing that he had. This, it was almost like this talent he had. And now I try to do that. I'm not nearly as naturally gifted as he is in that avenue, but I do try to be more friendly with people that I come across and connect with them. If I have a thought in my head, say I see a woman wearing a beautiful dress and I don't know who she is, before I'd probably just think to myself, oh, that dress is really pretty. It looks great on her. But I would just keep going. I wouldn't say anything to her because why would I go up to a stranger and compliment them? That's weird. Now I am the weird person that goes up and I'm the stranger that's like, excuse me, I just wanted to tell you that your dress looks amazing on you. You look so beautiful. And since I've done that, it's really, really fun to see the reaction on people's faces. And they just light up. And wow, here I am, this stranger. But it took, what, 10 seconds, 5-10 seconds out of my day. And I don't know what's going on with them. I don't know. But maybe that's what they needed to hear. And so I just really try to understand that we're all human. And, you know, if someone cuts me off in traffic before I may have laid on my horn and, you know, maybe grumbled under my breath, now I'm like, oh, well, they must be really in a hurry to get somewhere. Like, oh, yeah, absolutely. Go in front of me. And it's just that mindset shift. Mm-hmm. And it really just relieves so much unnecessary pressure and stress that we give and we put on ourselves.
Have you noticed a difference in your recognition of things that we used to take for granted? A beautiful sunrise, a moment in time where your presence with, you know, a birthday or an anniversary or a special moment in time that you say, wow, now every one of those moments are so valuable. I don't want to overlook them because, you know, we're all doing this and this is how we communicate with our kids. And it's all different now, right? Little things mean everything.
Yeah, my perspective has changed and my priorities have changed. So before, things that were important to me and that I prioritized, not that they're not still important for me, but I no longer prioritize them. I really have simplified. I really have gone back to the basics and I'm very present in my interactions with those that I love. I'm very intentional with the decisions that I make and where I spend my time and who I spend my time with. I work very, very hard to maintain a sense of peace in my life. And in order to have that peace, I've had to simplify. But it has made my life so much richer because the things that the world tells us are important are really not that important.
And your faith, let's break through that curtain right now. How has it strengthened it? How has it caused you to doubt? Because when you're on a road like this that few people have been on, you're taking turns that you never knew you would be down that road. How did that make you question God, or did it?
It absolutely did. I have had strong faith my entire life. When our oldest son, Ian, was a baby, he had Kawasaki disease at 4 months. And basically, it causes systemic inflammation. It causes it can cause permanent damage to the coronary arteries that feed the heart. And he was very sick. He wasn't responding to the treatment. I was a pediatric ICU nurse at the time of this. I had taken care of kids that had Kawasaki disease and needed heart transplants because of it. My son was not responding to treatment. We prayed and fasted, and I pleaded with God for a miracle. And he granted that. The doctors were astonished. All of a sudden, our son took, after 2 weeks, turned a corner and started getting better. He didn't have any long-term effects to his heart, to the vessels in his body. The pediatric cardiologist told me, I don't, like, this is a miracle. Then my sons were in the accident. We discovered my son had a brain tumor. Again, I pleaded with God for healing for my children. My son's brain tumor was able to be completely removed. It ended up being benign. Our other son, yes, he had severe trauma. The surgeries were successful and he regained full use of his limbs. My prayers were answered. When my husband got leukemia, again, I pleaded with God for healing for him. And my prayers weren't answered in the way that I was so desperately needing them to be. And that really made me question everything I thought I knew and I believed. And it really took my faith. So my faith really was stripped down, and I had to work to rebuild it. So to answer to your question, it definitely challenged my faith, and it's stronger now because it's now built. I rebuilt it, and it's stronger now because I intimately have a relationship with God that I didn't have before. And so it was broken. I rebuilt it, and it's now stronger.
Yeah. If somebody is watching this right now, and they're in that darkest moment of turning another corner and the test results came back terrible, nothing's being processed right, nothing's being done, they're at the end of their ropes. As a life coach, as a grief and loss coach, what words would you want them to hear from you? If they were eyeballing you like I am right now, what would you want to say to them? That was probably some things that you wish you heard or maybe you did hear that helped you through those darkest times, what would you say to them?
I would tell them that even though you feel like you're never going to get out of this, like you can't see any way through the darkness, that if you look really hard, there is light. And when you find that little tiny glimmer, spark of light, hold on to it like it's your lifeline, because it is. And continue to look for more. And when you grab one and you see another, hold on to that. And I promise, the more you look, the more you'll see. And that, the sun will shine again. It may not be as bright. It may not be as warm, but it will shine. And no feeling lasts forever. It feels like when you're in the beginning and everything's just shattered around you, it feels like you will never be happy again. You will never, things will never be good again. But it will. I promise you the sun will shine. And I promise you that if you look for the light in the suffocating darkness, you will find it.
That's good. Hold up your book one more time. I want everybody to get this. This could be a comfort. This could be a motivation to help you get through the journey that you're being involved with right now. A million miracles and the one that never came. And I highly recommend this to everybody. Kelsey, is there another book in you?
You know, I get asked that question a lot. And I didn't think there was one book in me.
Oh, not just a book. So, this is a good book, an awesome book.
So I'm not sure. I didn't think there was one book in me. So I never say never. But as of right now, I have nothing in the works. We'll put it that way.
Okay. And if people want to find out more about you, if they want to connect with you, if they want to possibly get some coaching from you, either the life coaching or the grief and loss coaching, what's the best way for them to be able to do that?
The best way to connect with me is to email me at kelsey@risewithgrief.com, or just head straight to my website, risewithgrief.com. And I do offer a free 30-minute introductory call if you feel like you want coaching. And you can just go to my website and make an appointment right on there.
Yeah, a lot of people don't even, I think there's a lot of coaching going on out there, but a lot of people may not even understand what it is. So I recommend, hey, get in touch with Kelsey, do this 30 minutes and say, hey, wait, what? How's this going to benefit me?
Yes.
What am I going to gain out of this? So that would be the most awesome first step, correct?
Yes. Yes. People get coaching confused with therapy. I am not a therapist. This is not therapy. It's coaching. And really, it's exactly what I needed when I was experiencing devastating loss. I needed someone to take my hand and show me the way through. And that's what I provide for my clients.
And that's probably, I'm not trying to be supernaturally knowledgeable here, but that's probably the best route of how to take all of this past trauma and pain and turn it into an impact that's making such a difference in so many people's lives. RiseWithGrief.com. I highly recommend that and get this book. Kelsey, thank you for spending so much time with me today and sharing with our audience. And thank you for writing the book. I will be buying this even more to hand out as presents with people that are going through stuff that need just some insight, because it's in that book.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And it was my pleasure to be here.
Love to have you back. Anytime you want to, come on back and we'll dig a little deeper and drill down, because I didn't get to all of my quotes that I wrote down because it's such a good book. I couldn't put it down. I've read it straight through. Awesome book. Thank you so much, Kelsey.
Thank you.
What we'd like to do is each and every program, as we close, we always like to say, no matter what you're involved in right this very moment, no matter what you're going to face tomorrow, this could be the darkest night of your life. I want you to lean into the camera right here. I want you to listen to the words and have those words of Kelsey. Hey, if there's light, grab a hold of it. But I want to promise you, there's always, always hope. Never give up on the hope. There is a tomorrow. The rain will stop eventually. It'll stop raining. And you don't have to do this alone. If you need help, reach out and make sure you get this book, A Million Miracles and the One That Never Came. God bless you. Thank you. Join us next week for an awesome guest of Landon, going to be on the program 8:00 live from Houston, Texas, Breaking the Silence. God bless and have an awesome week. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.